Open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Verse 7 in the Amplified says, "Render to all men their dues, pay your taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due." But now pay attention to this very end. "Respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. Thankful for the Holy Spirit to lead us and teach us, guide us into the truth. We're living in a culture today that almost seems like there's too much disrespect and dishonor. And so, Father, I thank you that your word is very clear that as a believer, as a part of the body of Christ, you've given us very clear instruction what we should and should not do. And so as we look into your word today, we thank you that you will give us the authority and the power and the ability to walk in that word, to be doers of the word, to be able to speak that word in due season to those that need to hear it. We can be living examples, but also deal with any traditions and doctrines of men that have crept into our own lives, any leaven that has been in our lives. Purge it out with the truth here today. We just give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. You know, the Living Bible in this particular verse says, "Give honor and respect to all those to whom it is due." So obviously, I think that honor and respect would start by bringing it and giving it to the Lord. Now, today's Father's Day. And obviously, we could talk about our Heavenly Father and have a whole message about that. But I'm going to go in a little different direction today. When we do honor the Father, though, there is clear indication and instruction in the Old Testament. If you've been part of the Immersed Reading Program, we just went through the Pentateuch and so forth. And there's so many times, it's amazing how many times it's fresh to me now because we're just reading it, like in Leviticus and so forth. Leviticus 23 says this, "Everyone must celebrate," speaking of these festivals, "in honor of me." God commanded that they, in a sense, honor him. He commanded that they come and celebrate with him and celebrate because of who he is. And so all these festivals were initiated by God. They were to be remembered and celebrated exactly as he commanded them to be celebrated. Exodus 23:14 puts it this way, "Each year you must celebrate," and then he lists actually three specific festivals, "and celebrate those festivals in my honor." He says, why? Because every time you celebrate and acknowledge that, we're thinking about what he's done for us, what he has accomplished for us, what he has provided for us, why he has done what he does, because he loves us. And so all of these festivals and so forth, when you read them in the Old Testament, you think, man, there's all this stuff, and you got to do this, you got to do. All I know is that I'm just glad I'm not a Levite and have to cut up all those turtle doves and stuff. You read through all that, and you think, you know, I'm really not a pastor, I'm a butcher. And I'm just glad I'm not in that particular realm anymore. So when you look at these New Testament scriptures, we know these principles carried over to the New Testament, but thank God all the exact festivals and so forth, the actual functioning of them are not. In Philippians 4:4, in the Message, it just says, "Celebrate God all day and every day." Again, there are numerous examples in the New Testament, but we are to rejoice, we are to celebrate every day, all day. It's not just at certain festivals and live wherever you want any other time. Every day is the Lord's day, now on this side of the cross. So we have to celebrate and understand what that celebration is. So today we're actually celebrating four special occasions. We're going to celebrate four special occasions all today. Because today, first of all, is the Lord's Day. It's the Sabbath day. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Day. Also, we have Father's Day. Aren't you glad you had a father? I am. I was joking around out there. I was going up and greeting some of the kids going, "Happy Father's Day." And they're looking at me like, "I'm not a father." I said, "Yeah, but you have a father. Rejoice that you have a father. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here." Happy Father's Day. Also, because of the crazy corona, what is it now? I want to call it Corona 19.
COVID-19. The stupid virus. How about that? Because of that, we missed Mother's Day. So I want to say this. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. But also for the third thing today, so we had the Lord, Father's Day, Mother's Day. The fourth one is graduates. And we have three graduates that we're celebrating today, and some of you already have your cake for that one. But more on that in a minute. So as we're celebrating these special days and on these specific dates and so forth, it's okay to combine them all together and recognize, let's just have a party in front of God, with God. It's okay. You know, I was brought up in a kind of an old dead denominational church where everybody looked like they sucked on lemons before they went to church. Everybody walked with them. It was just one of those, you know, everybody was sad and just quiet. We were being reverent. That's not reverent. You know, do you realize that when we're in heaven, we're going to have fun? It's going to be rejoicing. It's going to be a party all the time for quite a while. We're not just going to be sitting around in our little mansions on the front porch in our rocking chairs with our little harps, you know. Where do they get these pictures? I have no idea. That's not in the Bible. If that's your idea of heaven, you need to get saved. Is that right? So we're going to celebrate these four specific and special occasions. And so what is it about honoring someone? What is it about respecting? What does the Bible say about bringing honor and respect to those that have it coming? It might be in recognition, like a special day, like a birthday or a wedding or an anniversary, or it might be in recognition of a significant event or occasion, you know, like when someone gets engaged or they announce that they're going to be having a child or even the birth of a child, or it might be the acknowledgement of something really important that happened in their life. Say they've achieved something and they got an award or they got a job promotion, you know, that's a good reason to go celebrate, isn't it? And so maybe somebody's going to retire. That's a good reason to have a party. Some people don't realize it, but sometimes for a funeral, it's okay to have a celebration because you're celebrating that person's life. Again, it's not something sad. If we know that they're a believer, we are here to celebrate their life, not to feel sad about it. So these are all things, but today we're celebrating the importance of these specific people. And I want to acknowledge, first of all, and say congratulations to the graduates. So graduates, the three that we have here, why don't you stand up? We've already embarrassed you once. Go ahead, stand up. We're honoring you. All right. Don't overdo it. Don't let it go to their head now. Sit down. No, it's the reason you celebrate and acknowledge that is it's a job well done. You know, there's still a lot of kids that don't graduate even from high school. And it's important to understand that, you know, whether you realize it or not, you paid your dues. You did the work, you were faithful, you were diligent, you were determined, and you finished. That's more than you can ask for a lot of people. Just get the job done and move on to the next part of it. I always think of graduation as not just school, but in life. You're actually going into the next stage of life. Because at school, life was kind of set for you. You had to go to school, you had to do your homework, you had to do everything else. All of a sudden, now you're like, now what do I do? Well, deliver pizzas for Domino's. I don't know what you're going to do. But it's a job, and it's life, and things are ahead of you. So we're also going to make sure that we're honoring and giving recognition to those with significant character qualities, and that's moms and dads. Thank God for good moms and dads. Now, not everybody had good moms and dads, and I understand that. Most of you know my testimony. My dad was on the road most of the time. I hardly ever saw him. And then he died young when I was young and 10 years old, so I had very little of a father image in my life. And when I got born again and I started reading the Bible, it took me a while to really connect with my Father God. I didn't have what I would call a father figure there.
And so that really helped me to read everything about the Father, about how Jesus related to the Father. And I think as a father then with two children and now eight grandchildren, there's a lot of things I wish I could have gone back and done different. You know, but you make up the best you can at this time in life. And you just do the best you can. And so nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to get it right except God. But we can still celebrate the fact that we have character qualities in moms and dads that bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Isn't that true? You know, when celebrating our parents as the first commandment with a promise, it's important to understand that. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to read to you out of the New King James. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So here's a promise in the New Testament, and it's a quotation taken out of the original Ten Commandments. Back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So again, we need to understand what's involved with honoring our parents, honoring the Lord, honoring those to whom honor is due. And the Amplified, I like this, puts it this way in Exodus 20, verse 12. It kind of amplifies it, obviously, before it means just honor. He says, regard, treat with honor. See, that's an action. How do you treat them with honor? I'm going to tell off on myself. I was not a real kind child. My grandmother came and lived with us a lot of times, off and on, because when my mother was working, and especially during the time that my father was dying in our living room, they didn't have a hospice then. They just put a bed in your living room and they put him in there, and I just watched him waste away. But I got real close with my grandma. But Grandma and I had an interesting relationship. My wife calls me a heat merchant. I don't know what that means. I just like to tease people. I like to kind of razz them a little bit, see if they're alive. Because sometimes you talk to people and they're like, huh? So you got to kind of say something to them once in a while, get something out of them, get a razz out of them. Well, I learned that from a very little age. And I don't know who I learned it from, but I learned it from somebody. It must have been, you know, Axel on the TV or somebody. But I would say to my grandma some very disrespectful things. But I loved her, but I would say some things that were mean. I called her the old fossil. And I'm sure she was younger then than I am now. I mean, so I don't know what that makes me. But I would call her things like that and say things to her and tease her and things like that. And I did that all the way up until she went into the nursing home and so forth and died at 90-some years old. But, you know, I was her cards buddy. I'd sit down and play cards with her. But I honored her and I loved her and I respected her, but I didn't always act or say it that way. And so when I read the Amplified Version here, it doesn't just say honor them. Well, I'm honoring you in my heart. I honor you. It says treat them with honor. And the next one is this. Give them due obedience. Oh, boy, I failed on that one a few times. When grandma or my mom would come home. Because, see, my mom would come home and she didn't have something. Wait till your father gets home. I was hoping my father would come home, but he didn't. I mean, I would have loved to have my father come home and give me a whooping. Nobody was around strong enough to give me a whooping. All right? So She tried to spank me one time and I laughed. That shows how much respect I had. So it says, regard them. Treat them with honor, with due obedience and courtesy. Oh, boy. That one's a tough word for me. I did not do that very well. So kids, even at this age, when our parents, you know, my mother and Pastor Mary's mother both have gone on to be with the Lord in the last few years. But we went and honored them every single week. We would go visit them. We would see them. In fact, we've commented a number of times that if either one of them, especially my mother who was living in an assisted living type of situation, If she had still been alive during this whole virus lockdown, we would have gone and got her out of there and made her come live with us just to get her out of that environment. But we loved them and honored them and did the best we could because, you know what, I had to make up for some of my... Yeah, I had to make up for it. But I'm a new creation now, glory to God. So it says, regard, treat with honor, do obedience, and courtesy your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land of your God, the Lord your God gives you. So this is at the beginning of 40 years. This is when they first came out of Egypt. Israel is just a bunch of hard-hearted people. It's so sad what happened there. So by the end of these 40 years, and that older generation that didn't go into the promised land, that listened to the 10 spies that brought the evil report, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, he repeats this same instruction to this next generation. So in a sense, you as the next generation, as us as the next generation, we need to listen to again what he says. This is Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So again, there's that word. He's commanded you that your days may be long. Now watch this, because this isn't back in Exodus. This is kind of a little addition here. And that it may be well with you. Because guess what? It wasn't too well with that other generation, was it? They all died off. They all paid the consequences of their doubt and unbelief. They all paid the consequences of their rejecting what God wanted to do for them and with them. They rejected the opportunity to have a face-to-face relationship with God. Can you imagine that? So he says, I want you to honor your father and mother. This is what I'm commanding you. I want the days to be long, that it may be well with you in the land where the Lord is taking you. And so, before Moses dies and he hands off the leadership to Joshua, he takes this and expands this for the next generation, adding that it may be well with you. And I believe that that phrase caught the attention, hopefully, of that younger generation that now was stepping up and taking the place of all the older generation that had died off. And they were going to go into the promised land like the other generation did not. They didn't have the same attitudes or beliefs. Now, Leviticus 19:3 basically has another aspect of that. He says, respect your father and your mother, honor the Sabbath, I am the Lord your God. So again, he puts honoring the Lord and honoring your parents and the Sabbath and everything all together. He says, you can't separate. He says, this is something I'm commanding you. Because when you learn to honor your natural father, guess what it's going to be easy to do? Honor the Heavenly Father. If you disrespect your natural mother and father, don't tell me that you love the Lord God, Father Almighty. It's pretty hard to do that. It's very difficult to do that. Now, he said, well, you don't know my mom. You don't know my dad. I don't need to know them. I said, you just have to love them. Did you get that? You have to love them. There's some parents that weren't very lovely. They're mean, abusive, absent, whatever they might be. So you don't understand what my parents were like. That's not the point. The point is you can still step back and say, you know what? I can honor them as much as I know how. And I can honor them even from a distance if I have to. Well, you don't know my dad. He's in jail. Well, send him a card. Call him up. Pray for him. Honoring that person that you might not like, that you're having a hard time with, that's about loving your enemies. Okay, this is going over real good. So, let's move on to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 again, but this time I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord as His representatives. That actually puts in the Amplified where the focus should be. It's not just I'm loving my parents. I'm loving them as the fact that they are there representing as an authority and as a figure person in my life as if they were the Lord God Almighty. Now, I see a lot of parents weren't Christ-like, so they failed at that. And we that are believers as parents, we have a job to live up to that imagery. So he says, obey your parents in the Lord. those Christian parents have an obligation to be Christ-like in their behavior, Christ-like in their leadership, Christ-like in their love and provision in their home. That's a lot of responsibility for those parents. Now, I had our two kids before I was saved, so some of those things, there were already some bad habits and some things that already were there. And it was hard to kind of maybe backtrack and undo some of that. But some of the experiences that they went through when they were young, you know, they've had to trust in the Lord to get through that. So when we're looking at how God says our parents are representatives of Him, He says, this is what's just, this is what's right. He says, verse 2, honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. Pastor Murray and I used to say this all the time when we go over on Fridays and visit my mom and her mom. Every time we got another chance to be with them, every day with them we'd say was a bonus day. Because we knew they could go home any day. We knew that they could pass away at any time at their age and health and so forth. You know, when you're pushing 95, 98, some of that stuff, and you realize, spend as much time. I would ask her, my mother, questions and get history that out of her that I never got. And so we would just sit sometimes. And my mother, she'd love for me to take her to Perkins. She'd had a hard time right now. So I would take her to Perkins, and she would sit there and have her, you know, fancy French toast with stuff on it or something. And then I'd just sit there and ask her questions. So tell me about, you know, Uncle Tom. Tell me about what happened when back in Lakota, North Dakota, and all this kind of stuff. You just get the stories. You get those stories. Because once they're gone, guess what? There's a couple of times I wish I could say, call my mom up and say, Mom, what's the deal with this? I'm digging through this box of memorabilia and stuff from the family, and whose was this? Where did this come from? What's the significance? Why did somebody hold on to this? Because right now someone else would think it's a piece of junk. But you know, in the family, it means something. Mom, what does this mean? That's giving them honor and respect and tapping into them. Because when they're gone, you don't have that anymore. It's gone. So, well, I don't really care. Well, maybe you need to care. Maybe that's something you start thinking about. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I was younger, I didn't care. And as I got older, it's like all of a sudden, wow, it does mean something. There's history here. There's something about that in your family that's important. So as we go through this, value as precious your father and your mother. And then it says, for this is the first commandment with a promise. With a promise that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, I want you to understand there's the significance of, you could see it as a benefit or you could see it as a warning, one way or the other. Because that's kind of the way it was with those children of Israel. For some it was a benefit, others it was a warning, so that it may be well with you. You know, there's the old joke about the dad saying to the naughty kid, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That's kind of the way the Father God said it to Israel. Bill Cosby did not think that up. All right? God the Father said that to the Israelites way back then. And at that stage, we have to understand, out of respect and reverence for who we're dealing with, it's important to give honor to whom honor is due. So, when we start looking at different examples about how we respect and honor our parents and try to get out of it, it was interesting to me as I was studying this, I came across two examples where Jesus used this. In Matthew chapter 15 and in Mark chapter 7, Jesus used the example of the Ten Commandments and the law when He was dealing with religious people. Because basically He was saying to them, you have failed at the one commandment, or the one of the Ten Commandments that has actually a promise to it. In Matthew 15, it says this, Jesus replied to them, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And then He says, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. Ooh, that's pretty harsh. See, the Ten Commandments doesn't say that. But the law added that later on in Exodus 21 and Leviticus chapter 2. And he says to them, honor your father and mother. That's the commandment. But then he gives the warning. He says, here's the consequence if you don't. Because if you can't honor them, are you really going to honor me? He says, honoring your own parents is a lesson. It's a type and a shadow. It's a proving ground, if you want to put it that way, to exercise that. So he says, well, anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. That's verse 4. Verse 5. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you. If my mom ever needed help, I made sure I went over and helped. I didn't say, oh, gee, Mom, sorry, you can afford a handyman by yourself. You can afford, take a taxi to the grocery store. Get on the bus with all the other old folks. Huh? No, I went over and I picked her up and I took her to Target and she had her little shopping list and she'd putter around with her little cart and I'd zip around with my cart. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, wait till your parents get like that or wait till you get like that. You'll wish your kids would come over and help. I only got a couple of amens out of that one. Oh, my. All right, I am moving on. Sorry, I can't help you. He says, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel, listen to what it says here, so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own traditions. Now listen to what Jesus says to them. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. That's Isaiah 29:13 as a reference there. He goes on as a parallel passage to this in Mark chapter 7, a scripture I quote all the time if you've been around me at any length of time. He says to them, all too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. This is Mark 7, verses 9 through 13. And verse 11 says, but you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift of God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or for his mother, making the word of none effect through your traditions, which you have now handed down, and many other such things you do. It creates a generation and a generation and a generation that degenerates when it comes to respect for parents. And we see this a lot in certain cultures. When we understand that Jesus is making a point here, and he quotes this numerous times. In fact, when he's talking to the rich young ruler, what does he say to them? And he's the rich young ruler, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And in Matthew chapter 19, Mark chapter 10, Luke chapter 18, I won't read all of them. All he says to them, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler comes back and says, well, I've done all that. What else do I need to do? And Jesus said, no, you really haven't done that. You thought you did. I shared all that because today we're celebrating very important days. Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduation day, the Lord's Day. So I thought, you know, there's a lot of national days. And I thought after this serious side of what I was sharing, I should probably give you a few lighter moments. So I looked up all the national holidays and I stopped. I just went for today. It's a common practice that congressmen or representatives or other people will come along and they'll introduce a resolution or a proposed something to make a certain day a national holiday. All right, you've heard of this. You know, they come up with these national holidays. So as a day of recognition, besides Father's Day, Now, according to the website, nationalday.com, today is a special day. Did you know that today is actually International Yoga Day? Did you know that? International Yoga, not Yoda, Yoga Day. I know some of you Star Wars fans are going, yeah! Yoda's got his own day! But the one I liked is this. Today is actually National Smoothie Day. So, when you're done here, you can go have a smoothie. And you're celebrating National Smoothie Day. But this one concerned me because today is also National Selfie Day. While I'm drinking my smoothie, I'll take a picture of me preaching in front of it, you know. National Smoothie Day and National Selfie Day. But it's also World Music Day. So this afternoon when you get home, go get your headphones on, get your iPod out, and listen to some really cool world music, some new, you know, new age music. And in case you missed it yesterday, here you go. Saturday, June 20th, not only was it Natalie's birthday, but it was also the summer solstice. But yesterday was National American Eagle Day. Did you know that, Natalie? On your birthday, it's National American Eagle Day. Your grandpa would have liked that. Now, I didn't pick this. This is right. But it's also National Ugliest Dog Day. I'm not making this up, people. I am not making this up. It's on the website. If it's on the web, it's got to be true. So if you've got an ugly dog, you should have celebrated that ugly dog yesterday. And in case you missed that, how about tomorrow? You ready for tomorrow? Tomorrow, Monday, June 22nd, is National Onion Ring Day. Who thinks this stuff up? Who likes onion rings? Wave at me. All right, so tomorrow you have to go out and celebrate and order a big batch of onion rings. Because it's National Onion Ring Day. But you do that after this. Tomorrow is National Take Your Cat to Work Day. Now, this one I'm going to give you a warning on. It is also National Kissing Day. We're moving on. So, all of these national days are meant to, because someone thought it was important to give honor to their ugly dog. To give respect to their onion rings. I don't know. Honestly, I'm not making this up. Go to the website. So, I wanted to find out in the New Testament, what did Jesus really think about a lot of this stuff? What did he consider to be important to celebrate? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would he celebrate? Well, I didn't have to go and think very far because I did that series on the parables of Jesus back a couple years ago. And we spent a lot of time on that. And right away, I thought of the three things, the three parables that Jesus gave us as examples. And in Luke chapter 15, he has the example of finding the lost sheep. He says, I'm so happy I found my lost sheep. He says, let's celebrate. That's Luke 15:6. Then he goes on to the woman with the lost coin. It says, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, let's celebrate. I found the coin I lost. I mean, if you're vacuuming and you find a penny under your couch, do you celebrate? You should. But he gives those two because the third one is the one that he really wants us to pay attention to, and that's the prodigal son. The third example there in that series of parables in Luke 15:22 And moving forward, he goes on and says, you know, the father sees the son. He tells the servants to bring the best clothes and the ring and put it on them. Prepare the calf. And he says, I want to eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found. And they began to celebrate. Now what happened when they began to celebrate? The older brother, who was jealous, didn't like that celebration. He didn't like it at all. And he comes and he starts griping and complaining, and his father has to pull him aside and say, listen, I want you to celebrate because your brother who was dead, who I thought was gone, who was lost, he's back. And I want you to celebrate with me. He's back and he's alive. Because Romans 12:15, and this older brother failed if he had known this verse. Romans 12:15 says this, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Well, an alternate translation puts it this way, celebrate with those who celebrate and mourn with those who mourn. The father had been mourning. I doubt very much the older brother even mourned with his father. He just went about his business and he was working and he was expecting, well, I'll get the rest of the inheritance. All right. My goofball younger brother, he took his and left. Good riddance. So he didn't celebrate with or mourn with his father the loss that the father had. And then this lost son comes back and the older brother's like, oh no, I suppose he's coming back to ask for more of my inheritance. He didn't rejoice. He wasn't ready to celebrate. You know, self-centered people never celebrate and rejoice when someone else gets something important. They don't. They always think, oh, why didn't I get that? Well, how come you're getting a graduation present? Well, did you graduate? Hello? Why didn't I get a promotion? Huh? See, there's a commandment with promise, and that goes both ways. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, the message puts it this way. If you start thinking to yourselves, I did all this all by myself. I'm rich. It's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that He promised to your ancestors as it is today. So we're to always remember and always give God the glory because all the honor goes to Him. You know, recently I was reading through Daniel. I got off studying something and was going through Daniel again and reading about Nebuchadnezzar and how in Daniel chapter 4, that's one of the only times that we have someone other than a Jew anointed by God actually writing part of the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar writes part of it and it's recorded there. And it's interesting because he acknowledges the greatness of God, but then within just years, he's right back into pride. We see over and over where people stop acknowledging and honoring and reverencing God and get off. And in this case, if you fail to honor someone because of pride, you fail that humility. But humility will keep you from going down the road of pride. Because otherwise you have self-dependent or you have God-dependent. You are either going to honor yourself, like, hey, look what I did, or you're going to look for God to honor you. I'd even rather have God honor me than have men honor me. Do you understand that? But men will honor you because they recognize something that you have done in and with God. A self-centered person, a person who is self-dependent, self-honoring, is usually also very boastful, prideful, rather than being thankful and worshipful. So I want to wrap it up with this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. This is, to me, is the real meaning of these special days, and especially of Father's Day, bringing the parents and the father and everything pulled together here. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before people, so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. When they see our good works, when they see our Christian lifestyle, when they see the way we live and behave and act, it's to bring God, honor to God, glory to God. It's not for them to just say, "Oh, isn't he just a great person? I'm a great person because I have a great God. And that great God in me is reflected through me. And really what greatness you're seeing is God and Christ in me, the hope of glory." That's the honor that is due His name. That's what we need to be doing. Amen? Thank God today is Father's Day. Mother's Day celebration. Graduation celebration. Also, I believe, celebrating the Sabbath. All these come together to celebrate what God wants to do in our lives. Now, I want to close this.